This lesson is from the course Fullness of Joy, A Biblical Theology of God with Us by Dr. Daniel Ragusa.
As we've seen throughout our study, God's revelation of himself to us under the theme of God with us is given in the context of his covenant. That the covenant is God voluntarily coming to us by his grace and bringing us into fellowship with him that he might be our reward, and that we might have knowledge of him. As God had made us in the very beginning, in his image, to know, love, and live with him in eternal happiness, so he has restored us in covenant with himself through the mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ. And this covenant has moved the whole story of redemption along, as we've seen, in its various administrations. But all along, it is God himself acting. All along, it is God himself in his sovereign grace coming to us and meeting with us. It is he who proclaimed it first in that mother promise in Genesis 3:15. And it's he who proclaimed it by the patriarchs and the prophets. It's he who foreshadowed it through the law and the ceremonies. And it's he who fulfilled it finally through his beloved Son. The covenant then is that which is so significant for us as we think about our relationship with God. It keeps us from falling into a modern error in which the scriptures, while acknowledged as important, are viewed as something that stands outside of history and merely become a kind of psychological pattern for us in order to experience the divine or to experience transcendence or to move in a spiritual manner above and beyond what is otherwise typical of us. Rather, the covenant reminds us that God's revelation touches history, it touches our lives, and it touches this world. The story of God with us is not a story that should leave us unmoved or unchanged. It's not a story that we could hear and simply either shrug off or be indifferent to, but it is a story that tells us what is at the heart of all things. It is the story of God who has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. It's a story that God has written in his word for us. It is the story that God has authored, being the one who has authored the end from the beginning. And therefore, it is this story, this covenant story of God with us, that is of utmost significance for us. And we ought to draw great strength and encouragement from as we've thought through the way in which God has drawn near to us and has prepared the way that we might come into fellowship with him and enjoy that with Christ forevermore. God made us for eternal happiness with himself, and therefore we will only find that fullness of joy when we come into his presence, and it's through his Son and by the power of his Son and the work and ministry of his Son that that is possible. He is our great high priest of the covenant. In John chapter 17, Jesus prays these words for his people. He says to his Father, "But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Our study of the story of God with us, running from Genesis to Revelation, is the story of God bringing us into the fullness of joy in his presence by way of his covenant. His covenant is that the means by which he has come and met with us. And as we said earlier, the whole history of creation and redemption is one of God drawing near to us for joyful fellowship. This joyful fellowship is the bond of friendship of God's covenant between us and his people. And the joy of that bond of friendship is nothing less than the joy of the Son of God fulfilled in us. Jesus prayed for nothing less than that, and that is truly joy that is full and forever. It's often said that all men seek happiness. We pursue that which we think will satisfy, and we desire that which we think will fulfill us. And what we find is that all that we would otherwise make for ourselves, every avenue or every vessel that we would construct to fill ourselves up, we find are but broken cisterns. Jesus Christ alone is that living water that satisfies us and brings us joy that is full and forever. A joy that stands far longer than the ancient mountains in time. A joy more full than the oceans. This is the joy that we find in union with the risen Christ by faith and empowered by His Spirit. We find this joy in us. And so we too can say from Psalm 16, verses 9 through 11, "Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." When King David had penned these words long ago, he spoke and foresaw of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as Peter tells us in Acts chapter 2, that Jesus would not be abandoned to Sheol, nor his flesh see corruption. That it would be in Jesus Christ that the path of life into the presence of God, the way of resurrection, would be open to all who believe in him. He indeed is, as he told us, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, in whose presence there is fullness of joy, except through him. He is the only way to God. And so it is with eager hearts that we await his second coming, when the heavenly reality descends in its fullness upon a renewed earth as the new Jerusalem, filled with the glorious and joyful presence of our God. And it's then that the blinding glory of the Lamb will be enjoyed by his people for all eternity, permanent, unchanging, forever kind of joy in rejoicing in our God. It is this that secures us today, and it is this joy that we already begin to experience in part. The Heidelberg Catechism tells us this in question 58. It says, "Even as I already now experience in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, so after this life I will have perfect blessedness, such as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has ever imagined, a blessedness in which to praise God eternally." And so we await the fullness of blessing that will come from him. And this means that until that day, as we've seen, we are called to be on a mission motivated by the glory of God, that his glory would spread, and that the honor of his name would be acknowledged and recognized all around us, and that he might be worshiped from shore to shore, and that the earth would be filled with the knowledge of his glory as the waters cover the sea. In Psalm 67, it begins with God's blessing, and then it works to the desire for his name to be known. Psalm 67 tells us, "May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all the nations." Our study of God with us reveals the hearts of God's way on the earth. It is a way of drawing near to his people in close fellowship. It is a way in which he upholds his justice and his righteousness and who he is, while also showing mercy and grace to his people. All of that being upheld in the cross of Jesus Christ, that God indeed is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. The study of God with us ought not to leave us merely with the grandeur and the joy of a salvation that stands at distance from us, but a salvation that brings us near to know God and to know who he is and to know his true character. When we saw the serpent appear in the beginning, we saw him malign the character of God. We saw him bring the character of God into question, and that lie that Satan sowed early on continues to influence people as we think about God. We think about God in a way that causes us to run and hide from Him. But God has spoken, and God has drawn near to us that we might know Him in His Son. Jesus tells us that if you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. And so when we think about Jesus Christ fulfilling all of God's promises and securing for us an eternal redemption, let us not lose sight of the God who reveals Himself in all of that. A God who has a deep and immeasurable love for His people. A love that He has set upon them from before the foundation of the world. And a love that has caused Him to send His Son into the world to save and rescue them, and to that His Son might bring many sons to glory, and that we might go have that share in the glory of the Son of God. And so today, we look to that Christ, and we seek to know God the Father more deeply, and we pray that we would know His love as He has poured it out into our hearts. And we pray that that love would then compel us to go and share that good news and to share the story of God with us to the world, that they too, our neighbors and our friends, may also trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they might also have that hope of eternal life. And when this mission of reconciliation is complete, and the Lord and Savior comes again with the clouds of heaven, then the earth and all things in it will be made new. It's then that the earth will brim with the glory of the Lord as it once filled the tabernacle and temple, and the presence of our God will saturate the new creation with joy, full and forever for us, His people, world without end. And so we have a great hope. We are forever loved and kept by Christ, our prophet, priest, and king. There is nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And He has been raised from the dead. He is the great shepherd of the sheep, and His blood has secured for us an eternal covenant with God, in which He is our God and we are His people in a joyful fellowship of life everlasting. And so when that day comes, as we long for it, as we hasten that day, as the Apostle Peter tells us, that day of consummation of God's covenant, that will be the day of the commencement of eternity. When this age closes and the day of eternity dawns, the light of that day will shine forever and ever. And in the light of that day, where night is no more, we will glorify and enjoy our God forever. Forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this lesson from Reformed Academy. We trust it has been a blessing to you, and we encourage you to use this course in your church or otherwise share it with others who may benefit from this teaching. At Reformed Forum, we are committed to providing redemptive historical, biblical, and theological education freely to people around the world. All of our courses are available online at reformedforum.org, many with Spanish and Chinese subtitles, all entirely for free. If you would like to support our mission and help us continue offering these valuable resources, please visit reformedforum.org/donate. With your partnership, more people can access sound, Reformed teaching, and together, by God's grace, we can equip the next generation of church leaders for faithful service.